Welcome to episode 14 of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play the games on Microsoft Game Pass service and tell you what games to pass on to your friends and what games to simply pass on by. Today, joined with me is Corey. What's up, Corey?
Oh, you know, just figuring out what to do with the 60 seconds of my life.
Ooh, I like that. I like that little teaser at the beginning. I like it.
I almost said 60 years. I don't know why.
also accurate. Really.
But yes.
Where do you see yourself at 50?
Still doing this podcast.
Oh, I hope not. With who?
I don't know.
On today's episode, we're talking about a little game called Minute.
Before that, we're still doing the contest for, if you want to win a Game Pass Ultimate subscription for 1 month, review us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. The first person to do that will be in contact with, and we will give you 1 month free of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Just want to throw that in there. But yes, go on.
Just interrupting my hot minute.
Hey, you gotta promote.
Something we are terrible at, honestly.
Clearly.
Yes, we'll talk about a little game called Minute. Developed by JW, Kitty, Yukio, and Dom. I'm guessing those are four different people.
That is, yes. They don't really have a studio. Like, that's kind of, this game just sort of came out as a love child from those people.
Oh, nice. Well, regularly priced at $9.99, available on PC, Mac, Xbone, PS4, and Switch, Android, Linux, and iOS devices.
Everything, even Linux is getting some love.
I'm about to say even Mac's getting some love because Linux gets love more than Mac, don't they? Think so. This is not Xbox Play Anywhere. Available only on Game Pass for console and PC. This is not crossplay, no DLC. Not Xbox One Enhance.
I left the genre blank because I don't know.
Yeah, that's what that tripped me up there. I mean, like, I guess it's a it has its own genre, honestly, probably.
Like, it's an adventure, action adventure in the vein of like old school Zelda, but it's very unique. So
tell me how it's unique.
So Minute, the premise of this game is that you only live for 60 seconds. So you are sort of trying to solve this mystery or to beat this game in 1 minute, which sounds impossible, right? But so the way it sort of does it is that you carry all the information and items basically that you gain forward. So the game sort of starts out. One thing I want to say is describing the, you know, I said it's sort of a Zelda-esque, what's the word I'm looking for?
Game.
Presentation. In terms of like it's grid based on a screen, so each screen is its own little thing. When you go to the next screen, it scrolls over, etc.
It's like old school Zelda.
Yeah. So it's not like Link to the Past or anything. It's like the original Zelda, or like the Game Boy one. But it's also in black and white only. It's a pixel art game, so it's got a very cool and unique look to it. It's very unique. Like the gameplay is unique, and it's got a cool art style, and pixel art is something that is very kind of hit or miss these days because everybody did it for what, 5-10 years, so it got hard to sort of stand out from the crowd. But I think this game accomplishes that, and I like the look of it. How do you talk about this? So when the game, like you don't really have anything, and then as you sort of start exploring and you keep dying, it's almost like an adventure game. Like,
it's an adventure game. It's almost not roguelike, but kind of like, it's almost like a Souls-like almost.
In
some kind of way, because essentially the premise is you have 60 seconds to live each run. So you have 60 seconds to figure out how to get from point A to point B to explore this world. And during that time, you might find an obstacle in your path, in which case you need to cut down a tree, move a block, but you need an item to do it. You have 60 seconds to find it, to do that. And if you die, you respawn at one of your houses, one of your homes, with that item that you just got, you get to go back and do it again, but this time faster because you already had that item. And it's just that kind of rinses and repeats throughout the entire game. So you're going to end up dying a lot because you only have 60 seconds to do anything.
Right. And it plays with that. Like there's a character that you meet that talks extremely slow. And that was just like, I should be mad at it. I should be like, you like don't play with me. But I thought it was kind of funny because like you have this pace of just, I need to get stuff done now. And then you meet this character and he's talking real slow. And like you see the text coming and then you also see your timer clicking down and you're just like, oh, come on. Like what are you trying to say to me? Get it out quick. And then you die before he finishes. And you're just like, God, I hate you. But that was funny.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah. So it does a lot of things like that. And it's hard to talk about, like, because you can technically spoil this game, I guess, even though it's only 60 seconds. But it's got a lot of charm like that. There's a lot of cool things that you can find. But the way it sort of mitigates it is that, like you said, there are houses that you can find, and you can sort of use those as checkpoints. So you will still die at the end of 60 seconds, but you won't have to sort of traverse the whole map again because you now have a different save spot or home or whatever you want to call it. To me, like, I think you could definitely make the argument that the 60-second gimmick is sort of a way to mask a very short game, because it is. Like, if you were able to play this without the 60-second limit, you could probably finish it in, like, half an hour.
It's made to speed run. So you can,
right.
So someone more advanced could probably beat this game in 30 minutes.
Right. And so once you know the puzzle and once you know how to get to the end, it's not really going to change. But what I did find unique is that there are actually multiple paths and multiple ways to get to the end. There are different items that you find. Like, for instance, there's one part where you need to sort of get into this building. And the way I got into it was I found a press pass, basically. I found a pass.
That's what I got.
Yeah, and apparently you can get into that building different ways. Like, there's back ways into that building, and you don't even ever have to find the press pass kind of thing. So depending on what you find and how you find it, you could actually end up at the end in a different way, which I think is kind of cool. So as someone who I'm not someone that likes to 100% a lot of games, so that aspect of it, like, I'm not going to go back and try to find everything, but I could definitely see people wanting to find out how you get to the end in basically every way and explore every single kind of screen of the map. But yeah, so I forgot where I was going with that.
This game is so dang charming.
Yeah.
But for me personally, like, it's I don't, to be honest with you, it kind of wore thin after the short time I played it. I mean, I kind of got the for lack of a better word, gimmick of it, and at that point I'm just like, all right, I know what I need to go. Oh crap, I have 7 seconds to do this. Like, just let me finish the game. Like, I know where I need to go,
right?
So, and it doesn't really add, at some point for me, it stopped adding a difficulty and became more of a nuisance.
I think as it got closer to the end, I started to feel that, because as you get towards the end, I think you basically go to an area that is not as open. Most of the screens of this game are very open, and you kind of know where you're going. Whereas later in the game, they start putting obstacles and stuff in your way. So you have to sort of navigate them instead of being able to just sort of free roam, if that makes sense. And since you only the 60 second timer at that point becomes a race against the clock, literally, because like you see the end and you just have to get there kind of thing. And I think it was a way, like, it struggles to sort of maintain that charm and that balance near the end of the game. But before that, I was sort of into it. And I think it was smart that they put a basically kill yourself button in it for those instances of like, OK, I've only got 7 seconds left. Like, clearly I can't do anything else. I know where I need to go next. I don't have to wait here. I can just hit the button and go. And there are also instances where, like, I screwed up and I meant to go to this screen, but instead I actually went down one screen too far. And so instead of me having to, like, wait the other 45 seconds, I can sort of just hit the button and restart kind of thing, which is smart. If it didn't have that, I think there's a very good chance that I would have been like, nope, and just stop playing it.
Well, to be honest with you, I got fairly deep into this game before I figured out the kill button.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, that on top of the like, I guess what I wanted was, because as you said before, in the very first room, if you go all the way to the left, there's a lighthouse. You talk to a guy there who speaks extremely slow and is very charming, very funny. After that, I was looking for more, I don't know, more out of the blue charm by the end of it to keep me kind of engaged, keep me going. Because at that point, like I said, it was just a race against the clock, and I was kind of over the race against the clock. I was looking for things to really trying to keep me glued to the, to either the gameplay, the story, the character, whatever. But it's like, it stopped being very charismatic for me.
I'm trying to. So I'm curious. How many did you beat this in one sitting?
No. That's the plot twist I told you about.
I forgot about that.
I actually beat this game on a Switch.
Oh, look at that. Whoa.
That's right.
Whoa. You can't do that.
I was playing some Pokemon at work, and a coworker of mine saw me doing it and said, "Oh, I brought my Switch too." I'm like, I got no Pokemon to trade or whatever. But he's like, "Well, no, I'm sorry." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I don't have the game." I'm like, "Oh, well, you can play this one." He's like, "All right, you can play my Switch." I'm like, I went through his catalog. I'm like, "Oh, you have Minute on here. Look at that." So I actually beat and played this during a lunch break.
Interesting. Okay. So, because I beat it in one sitting, and I'm curious if I kind of feel like that's the way you should do it.
I think it's the only way.
Yeah, because I think if this is something that you were to start and then come back to, you would be very annoyed very quickly. Because you sort of need to remember what you just did, so that way you either don't make that mistake again or figure out the puzzle now. Yeah, so that's why I asked that question, of just because near the end of it, because I beat it in about 90 minutes.
I think I was around that area as well.
Yeah, so I was just curious if someone had put this down, if they wouldn't. That's besides the point. I guess
I don't recommend it. I really don't recommend it. I think that kind of hurt my playing experience, because I started playing at home and then I played it at work, and just kind of like, and at some point that 60-second gameplay became a nuisance. And I'm just like, I kind of know where I need to go and what I need to do. Stop timing me for a second.
Right. Yeah. It almost needs a I get it button. like I get it. Okay, I got a minute, but just let me do the thing. Cause yeah, it's tough. Like, cause it's, I don't know. I'm struggling to. Because that's the argument of this game, right? Is it like, is the 1 minute timer a good thing or a bad thing that sort of masks a short game? And I think, man,
I think it starts off very, for me, kind of ebbs and flowed. I mean, like, for me, it started off very neat, very charming, and then by the end of it, I'm like, okay, I get it. Can I just go now? Like, can you stop doing the whole countdown? Like,
yeah,
like, because we're here. Like, but
at the same time, like, I'm wondering, like, so if it gave you the option, like, if the game didn't just like stop, I wonder if it would really just like kill the.
It probably would.
Yeah, like just kill the fun factor. But at the same time, man, that's tough. Like, I kind of want to play Minute without a timer and just see how it would go, even if it was only 45 minutes kind of thing. But obviously we can't do that. But that's sort of where I'm contemplating, because we have to come to a consensus on whether or not we want to pass this game on.
I would have much preferred this to be almost a longer, more story-driven game, and then that 60-second thing come in and out of the gameplay, and then kind of focus on the adventure aspect of it. But I mean, I'm not one of the four people that developed this game, so I can't tell them what to do. Right. But just playing, I'm just like it's hard for me to fall in love with a game that is simply neat. Like when games are just neat, I tend to walk away from them like, you kind of wasted my time. Like,
see, but with the game being so short, like, did it? Because
right, yeah.
Because sure. that's kind of where I'm just like, well, yeah, like it's got a gimmick of the 60-second thing that can mask it, but I think they played into it well, so it didn't become like, if this game was like 4 hours long, I think I would have given up on it. But the fact that it is only 90 minutes to 2 hours, depending on, you know, I guess somebody probably could end up spending a lot longer on it. That would be a great thing to, like, I would love to talk to somebody that spent like 6 hours to beat this game and how they felt about the timer. But yes, that's tough, but interesting. Yeah.
I mean, I wish, I don't know. It just wasn't, at some point I hit a wall. I'm just kind of like, I kind of, and that's what also was in the back of my mind as well. Like that timer. When I noticed how the game works, the overall premise of it, I knew in the back of my mind, this is not going to be a long game. Like, this is going to be a very short game. And that kind of irks me in a way where it's like, the closer I inch towards the end, I'm like, come on, we're done here. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that like it's a bad thing, but it's just kind of like it's that phenomenon where you're driving home after a long trip and you're like, and you can drive for 3 hours straight, but that last 10 minutes in traffic, you're like, what the heck? And that's what I felt by the end of this game.
Yeah, I actually can mimic that because it's very smart that the last boss, they turn off the timer, because if that was timed, no. And but what I will say is that one of the very last things you have to do, I went to do it and I died because of the timer. And God, it's somewhat of a spoiler, but it's not. So basically you lose your weapon for like a second.
That's
and
right.
And I happened to die in that second. So that it became I wasn't quite sure how to get back there because I didn't have a weapon and you needed to sort of hit a something that was in your way. And that became very difficult because I sort of had to like MacGyver my way through the back door. And I had, so the point I'm trying to make is that, I experienced the bad side of the timer as well, but I still don't think that it bothered me. Like the time that I wasted because I basically died at a point to where I probably shouldn't have, it was only a couple minutes. And it still didn't irk me, but if I would have died there and I was not someone that would push through, I could totally see somebody like spending an extra 30 minutes trying to figure out how to get back there, not being able to figure it out. And then they would just turn off the game and say, it's the dumbest thing ever and walk away.
They'll probably walk away. Like I could see someone like myself doing, where it's like not being frustrated, but not being, hateful of the game, because at the end of the day, like, this game is very, again, it's super charming. The premise is there, the artwork's there, the gameplay's there. Like, it's just a lot of they did a really good job developing a unique game experience. It's just that it's also one of those games where it's like, if you're not down to just kind of spend a few minutes for something that's neat, then you're going to hit one wall and go, okay, we're done here. I get it.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a fair point. But no, I guess it's time to come to the consensus on Game Pass or pass. Do we pass on this game or do we pass it on? I am leaning towards, I think people should play this.
I'm leaning towards that as well, because there's too much goodness here that you should not pass on. But the issues I have with this game are really just kind of personal issues. Like, So, like, I don't expect most people to have the reaction I did for something like this.
I don't know. I don't know. It's tough. I think a lot of people could bounce off of it more for that reason. So, like, I was just curious. So now that we've sort of come to the end, I want to take a look at the reviews. And what I do like about Steam is that Steam has a – you can put how long that you played the game. Actually, I think it tracks how long you play it. Like, it's like a verified sort of thing. So you can see how long people played it, and you can see all that. So a lot of people that gave it a thumbs up, I'm seeing 6.7 hours – 4.8 wow. hours.
Oh, well, that's total, though. Okay.
Yeah, 8.2 hours. And the ones that I'm seeing that are down, 1.4 hours.
Yeah, that
3.7 hours. Yeah. But this one's a thumbs up at 1.8 hours. So I was just interested. I was curious what other people thought before we decided to jump into the reviews and stuff there. But interesting. So it seems that most people are okay with the runtime, whether it's long or short. 4.2, 2.7, 1.7. So I know it's kind of all over the board. So that's interesting. So I guess that debate, this did not solve anything of me talking about this. So I think, so have we come to the consensus that if you have Xbox Game Pass, which is since it's on Xbox Game Pass for console and PC, I think you should play this one.
I agree. Yeah, this is, get your hands on this one and see for yourselves how unique a game experience this is.
Yeah, it's very rare that a game that looks like this, and I know that sounds bad, but like uses the pixel graphics, I was cool with it. I think it's very cool. I would buy a shirt of Minute kind of thing. Like I would buy a shirt with the main character. Does he have a name? I don't even.
I don't know, but the main character. I'm a fan of the character. Like he doesn't say anything, but I mean yeah. I'm a fan of the character. Like he this game in general just has a lot of character to it.
Yeah. And I want a shirt with him holding his little sword on there. Or maybe the watering can. I like the watering can. So, but yeah. So there you go. For Minute, we pass it on to you, the listeners. You should play this game. You should do it. All right. So that's it for Minute. Now, the question is, what do we do for the next game? Do we spin the wheel? Do we pick a game?
Unless you have a game that you have in mind, I tend to lean towards the wheel, primarily because a large interest I have in this podcast is exploring the claim of Game Pass. Like, we have all these games, therefore that's the value, as opposed to we have 20 really good games and 50,000 trash titles.
But so, sometimes you just see that game and you're like, man, I want to play that game. So
do you have one of those games?
So, okay, I do, but it's a selfish reason because we had sort of talked about this off the air. We have thought about playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and you have played the first two, correct?
Hold on, I'm sorry, there's three of these games,
correct? that's the interesting part, is
there's
a lot of people forgot
reboot games.
Yes, a lot of people forgot about Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
The first one was Tomb Raider,
correct?
Second one was Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
No, it was Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Wow.
The third one is Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So I think it's fair to say you have not played Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I have played Shadow of the Tomb Raider, but I did not finish Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And I am curious for myself if I were to play this game again, if I would wanted to finish it or not. So I think it would be an interesting take that since you haven't played it and like many people forgot it existed because it sort of just kind of came out. I actually paid full price for that game and I never finished it. So I think that'd be an interesting take. It would be a much different game. We just kind of went through two indie games. So now we got a AAA game to sort of mix it up, but I'll leave it up to you. We can spin the wheel or we can play Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I want to play Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Cause I didn't even know that game came out.
Correct. Yes. So, all right, there you go. That is our next game. We are going to be playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So, and what's interesting is that back in the day when they announced Rise of the Tomb Raider, it was an Xbox One exclusive. Yeah, there was a big whole thing about it. And I was one of those people that was like, I don't care. Like, who cares about Shadow of the Tomb Raider? And then I played it and Rise of the Tomb Raider. Let me try that again. Rise of the Tomb Raider came out and I was like, I don't care. But then I played Rise of the Tomb Raider and I absolutely loved it. So that is what sold me. Oh, I loved Rise of the Tomb Raider. Yes. And
all right.
That's what sold me on picking up Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So, but yeah, so there you go. Shadow of the Tomb Raider will be the next game. And we'll go from there. And I will tell you right now, that game is Xbox One X enhanced. And if you have a One X, you need to play it there because it is gorgeous. It is a gorgeous game. So I take it you're probably going to play on PC, correct?
Is it on PC?
Yes.
Are we sure about this?
No. Let's find out. Oh, crap. It might not be.
Yeah, that's getting more and more annoying. I don't know. I'm guessing it's more of a if it's been on other platforms on the PC, that then they might have some sort of claim to it.
Well, but so sometimes there's weird things on Game Pass, because sometimes a game won't be on one or the other, but it is Xbox Play Anywhere, so therefore it is. Right. So let's do some live Googling here. Let's find out, because I know Rise of the Tomb Raider was one of those instances to where it was Xbox Play Anywhere. Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's definitely on console.
Yep, I can confirm.
Although I cannot find if it's X. This is going to be fun to edit out.
Just put that Jeopardy music in the background.
Boom, 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 ba-da-dum, boom, boom.
Oh, this is so, 3 hours later.
Okay, no, it is not available on the Microsoft Store at all, it looks like. So that would...
So I'm paying for Ultimate for freaking nothing. Thanks a lot, Microsoft.
Let's see here. Yeah, okay, because only... That's interesting. So only Rise of the Tomb Raider is on the Xbox Store, meaning the first one and the third one are not. So that's interesting. So yeah, that's one of those things where, you know, the growing pains of the service, I guess, because it's strange that Microsoft sort of forces you into, what's the word I'm looking for? Since it forces developers to support the Microsoft Store, if it's not on the Microsoft Store, then yeah, it's strange. So you will be playing that on console as well, but you don't get the fancy graphics. I'm sorry. That sucks, man. Just buy a 1X. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, I'll do that today. Cool.
Problem solved. Yeah, do that with a year before Project Scarlet. So,
yeah, perfect timing.
Perfect timing. But, all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We will see you next time with Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I don't know why I said it like that. I guess I should also say, if you want to email us, gpopfans@gmail.com. Bye.
Later.
I got to get like a script down for the end because I always forget half of it.